Welcome to the Lost Stop Podcast and the second edition of the Accursed Race, brought to you by our race partners, Albion and Ride with GPS. Today's the day in Škoda, as our riders get ready to begin their adventure in the Accursed Mountains. Race reporters Andrew Phillips and Tom Probert are up early at the Traveller Hostel in preparation for the official race start at 9 a.m.
It's 06:30, it's race day, and Škoda is just starting to wake up. Got the vegetable sellers getting their first coffees of the day, putting out their spring onions and their leeks. Got shops starting to open up, sound of metal shutters rolling up, and people starting to mop floors and pedal gently on their way to work. There's a bit of a breeze in the air, but it feels dry, a few patches in the cloud. A little bit overcast. How are we feeling this morning?
Yeah, good. Fresh. Slept well. This is always like quite an intense moment, isn't it? Where everything gets compressed into the time before the starting gun fires, metaphorically. And hive of activity here. Just seen Florian with all of his like energy gels and biscuits and stuff in like a really neat grid. he was just kind of like surveying it, seeing what he could like cut out, making sure he's got everything. So I don't know. You've got all the different approaches of different riders. Some people like super organised, up early, showered, done. I'm sure there's still riders like in bed, just waiting to the last second.
Most of them, I think.
Yeah. it's just a really exciting energy, isn't it? This, the morning before the start.
Well, you've got a real gleam in your eye, waiting for things to kick off.
I'm waiting for the coffee at the for when we have our breakfast. Waiting for the omelette and rice to set us up for the day.
As the start of the race draws near, our riders begin to assemble outside the Traveller Hostel. There is a distinct buzz about the place, a sense of pent-up energy, a combination of nervousness and excitement. Andrew speaks to the racer's only pair, Hannah Vett and Annie Dunlap, caps 37 A and B, whose nerves are having a rather physical effect.
Feeling good. Had some nervous gags walking over here, but I think I've recovered. I just get in my head. I wasn't able to make it down to breakfast because I felt like it wouldn't be appropriate to sit at the breakfast table and gag. So it was coffee in the room, so it worked out.
Nothing wrong with a few nervous pre-race gags. Well, you look calm and happy enough now. Looking forward to getting underway.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely. Just need to get on the bike. So
hopefully those gas will go away.
yeah. I think once you start climbing, there's no room for upset stomachs. So we'll be set once we get going. We tell ourselves.
Alistair Clifford, cap number 9, has been comparing notes with other riders and already thinking ahead to the finish.
I mean, everyone's super super helpful, but everyone has got a different ambition, different idea. On their own ways of doing it. You know, there's gravel bikes, there's full susses, and it's like, what are you going for? What are you after? Are you here as a 10-day holiday kind of? It's never going to be a holiday, but are you hoping to achieve it in 10 days? You know, there was chat of sub 6 last night, and I was like, right, you lot are mental.
Where do you fit in onto that spectrum?
First and foremost, get round. Yeah, quite like the dreamy moment of maybe riding in on Friday morning, you know, riding down into town, having a little coffee before I even get here, maybe. Got enough time just to sit back and enjoy those last moments, but we'll see. I don't want to be packing up at 12 o'clock on the Friday night either. Yeah, we shall see how it goes. I want to get a couple of good days in early on.
It's common for riders to take some sort of mascot, photograph, or often sticker with them on a race. Spike Morris, cap 34, has his own take on the good look charm.
I think I'm going to give it my best effort and then check the map at the end of day one and beginning of day two and see who I can compete against in my kind of category, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally.
And then have a race in that sense, but I won't be trying to get a podium finish.
And like you were tinkering here with your food bag, like one of these little pouches on the handlebar pack. That looks like that's completely filled with snacks.
Just trying to defy physics and question if I can get any more in, but of course the answer is no.
And what's your little badge you've got on your stem here?
Oh, the King Pigeon. Just a nice good luck mascot, to be honest. Yeah.
Any significance to the pigeon?
I just think I like birds.
Yeah. Yeah, is that your spirit animal? You identify with the spirit of the pigeon?
Yeah, the King Pigeon. The dead, who's dead as well, you might notice.
Oh yeah, it's just a severed head.
Yeah, long live the king. The king is dead.
For some riders, it can be tricky to sleep the night before a race, when the adrenaline is already pumping and those last-minute worries pop up. Tom speaks to Michael Niven, Cap 30.
How are you feeling this morning?
Nervous, excited, but, you know, I'm trembling. Actually shaking this morning. But no, I'm really excited to be getting off.
Did you sleep okay or did the nerves kick in?
I must have been awake from about 1 o'clock to about 3:30.
Yeah.
So it's just practice for the race, I guess.
I've just spotted you've got a photo attached to your top tube there. Is that for a bit of moral support?
It is, and, you know, smiley, happy face. She's always smiling, so bless her face. I just need to look down at that and not be sad.
While the locals go about their typical Monday morning business in Škoda, the race start at the Akerst is getting closer and closer. Two riders we expect to see near the pointy end of proceedings are now in the courtyard at the Travel Hostel. Caps number 1 and 2, respectively, Marin Saint-Exupéry and Justinas Labajka. However, it looks like they have two very different days ahead. First, Andrew speaks to Justinas.
Any pre-race nerves?
No.
Come on, be honest, be honest.
I can't wait for my season to finally start, you know? I usually started in, like, Atlas early in February, and now it's May, middle of May, and I haven't raced properly yet. So this is a celebration for me. I'm ready. I took a haircut yesterday so that it would be nice, you know?
Absolutely raring to go.
I mean, I'm looking forward, as I said to you, but I saw a bit of what we're going to go through, so... I just can't wait to see more of it.
You look like you're really happy and excited. Looking forward to getting on the bike.
I'm so excited I can't hide it.
To the listener here, I'm just going to describe how Justinas is looking right now. And I would say like a child on Christmas morning who's just seen a bike-shaped present under the Christmas tree.
Exactly. And I just want to go out and ride it now.
Unfortunately, the same cannot be said for Marin, who's made it to the start line despite feeling pretty unwell.
So you're still feeling a bit sick today?
Pretty much sick, yeah. Even not really worse, but at least I cough less, but I had an awful night. So it will be just touring pace. Took my tent that I had for the no-fly journey, so that should be at least comfortable.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens in a few days, but right now I'm gonna do more naps than riding.
Oh man, how are you feeling about that?
That's life.
Pierre Bischoff, Cap 32.
How are you feeling before the race?
Yeah, of course a little bit nervous, because this is the reason why we are doing racing, to feel the nervosity before the start and to feel the people, how everybody looks, the last setup, it's quite amazing.
Yeah. And you're enjoying the weather here. It's looking good, isn't it? The sun's out.
Yeah, exactly. I hope we have a good weather period, because it's now the changement of the moon. Normally you have to have better weather right now. But of course, the big problem will be sometimes a thunderstorm can come. It's also announced, so we will see if the weather stays in the mountain or not.
It's almost time for the riders to leave Škoda and head out of the city and into the beautiful Albanian mountains. Race director Hannah Lobelessier describes the atmosphere at the start line.
It's kind of half frantic, half chilled out. It's a nice vibe at this race, where it's a small field. It's very kind of feels very low key in comparison to races like TCR, and it's a really friendly bunch. So people have just been sat around the hostel having coffees this morning. As a team, we've been out, had a quick breakfast, and we're now frantically packing all our bags into a pile, ready to throw them into the race cars. The street outside the hostel is kind of busy, so the cars, it's currently about 4 minutes to the race start, Andrew and David have just gone off to grab the race cars, and they'll be here in about 2 minutes, ready to roll out and guide the riders out of the city. So yeah, I think everyone's excited to get going now, and we've got a really beautiful day. It's blue skies, a little bit of a breeze, and it should be pushing them up the valley towards Theth. Like, it's always a little bit frantic as we approach the race start, and there's lots of admin to do, and once you get rolling, kind of suddenly everything calms down a bit and you've just got one focus, which is really nice. And I guess it's the same for riders, that all they need to do is start pedaling and suddenly you get that moment of calm once you get moving.
Okay guys, ready to roll? Stay behind the neutralized vehicle. Yourselves, guys.
Thank you.
Let's do this. See ya.
We're just following the peloton of our riders as they leave the city. So we had the usual chaotic start where our riders were trying to cross over a bike lane full of local commuters and a whole street full of traffic, and then a lot of bemused market goers just trying to work out where all these strange looking cyclists had come from. So just a lot of chaos and energy at the start, and then the riders are now on the quite wide straight road that goes directly out of the city and into the mountains. And as they go along that road, the traffic is kind of dropping away, the chaos is calming down, and you can kind of feel the transition from city to nature. And we can see the mountains looming on the horizon, which gives our riders a kind of target that they're heading for. And we're just kind of making our way slowly through the pack here, making sure all the riders are okay. Everyone's just finding their rhythm and getting nicely settled into the ride. Hopefully the nerves that all the riders were feeling before the start are now starting to fade away, and thoughts will be turning to what's to come.
While all riders safely leave the city boundary, it doesn't take too long before one of them decides to turn back towards Shkodra. After early mechanical issues, Jackie Prosser, Cap 21, decides to call it a day before reaching the wilderness. Media manager Taylor Doyle spoke to Jackie on her return to the Traveller Hostel.
Are you disappointed? Are you all right? How's it going?
Well, I guess the hardest thing today was making the decision to turn back. Definitely. So I was umming and ahhing, and I was trying to work out how long it was going to take me to get where I was going, and you know, I reckon it would be dark, and my gears weren't brilliant, so I just thought it was the best thing to do, to be honest, just to come back. So, yeah, I am a bit disappointed, yeah. But I've got 10 days holiday now.
For everyone else, by now, they can all be confident that the Accursed is no holiday. Out in front is Justina Slavica, cap number 2, who is closely followed by Christoph Dijkman, cap 14. Tom is in control car 1 with race director Hannah and race photographer Sam Dugon.
So Hannah, where are our riders in relation to where we are now, and what's the plan?
So at the moment, the riders are riding along this river valley towards Theth, which is possibly one of the roughest parts of the route. I remember Andrew saying that he wrecked it on his endurance bike with some gravel tires and said that he got absolutely beaten to pieces. It's, from what I've heard, a really kind of rocky stretch that has like baby head sized rocks, and I think it may well scare a few riders that they're setting out and they experience this first really tough bit of route, and they might be thinking, oh gosh, I'm not prepared for 1600 kilometers of this. So yeah, straight into the heart of the Accursed Mountains and some of the most challenging riding they'll have. They'll then reach Theth, which is this tiny village nestled amongst these really towering peaks of 2,500-3,000 meters that surround it on all sides. They'll then climb up an asphalt climb lots of hairpins snaking their way up out of Theth. And then they'll descend down the valley before doing another really beautiful kind of winding climb up towards Razem. Then they'll go off-road again, and then hopefully we should see them here in, or at least the first riders, we should see them up here on, at the top of this climb in the next few hours or so.
Because the Accursed is off-road, the team has limited opportunities to stop and speak to riders, especially on day one, where the energy is high and everyone wants to keep pushing forwards. The media team also take a much more stealthy approach to race coverage too, with the aim of leaving the riders to race as uninterrupted as possible. Race reporter Andrew Phillips is with David Eyre, race coordinator, who are travelling in control car 2.
So David and I are stood in the beautiful Theth Valley. We're just on the other side of the river to the riders, having crossed a slightly rickety-looking old iron bridge. And we're standing admiring the light on the mountains, the beautiful crystal clear water flowing down the valley, whilst our photographer crouches in a bush somewhere above the track, waiting for the perfect shot as the riders go by. David, any thoughts on the Theth Valley this morning?
The icy blue water that's running past us is looking pretty appetizing. It's not quite hot enough for us to be plunging ourselves in there while we wait for the riders to pass, but it does still really beautifully sit against the kind of lush, verdant valley that we're in as well.
And any thoughts on the riders we've seen go past?
They seem to be going particularly well so far, running a little bit quicker than they were last year. That may be in part due to some of the changes that we've seen on route already. So we're seeing that investment in infrastructure in Albania already starting to bear dividends. Some of what used to be fairly rough double track has now been broadened out into still a gravel road, but a little bit more easily passable, and that's reflected in the rider time so far. Justinus currently leading the pack, but with a few riders in hot pursuit behind him, so it's already shaping up to be an exciting day of racing.
Justinus looking very happy with himself as he did so, as he almost always does.
Not too long after, Andrew manages to catch and speak to Michael Fedora, Cap 29, to see how his start to the race has been.
How are you doing?
No, not too bad. It's nice, it's nicely cool. When it was warm on the first long ascent, I had some problems, especially on the steep parts, 15 to 70%. I had to push the bike, used it for eating, walked slowly. This was much better on tarmac. And we'll see. It's not easy, but I didn't expect it to be easy. It's fun, it's great, beautiful, absolutely beautiful.
So you've taken a look at the climb, and what's your assessment of it?
Yeah, about 600 meters of elevation to go, and then about a 30 kilometer descent, and then the game starts again. I try to eat on the bike, but it's not always possible. I have my food mainly in my backpack, and when my pockets in my jersey are empty, and then I have to get to the backpack. And I guess it is necessary for me to take a break. No, then I can't do it without breaks. I have to take a break from time to time.
The team in control car 1 are further ahead and waiting for the leading riders to pass through to try and get the perfect shot without them knowing they are there. Tom and Sam are looking for the ideal place to hide.
Feels like a good little vantage spot.
I think this is a good little vantage spot. I've got a few different options of foreground as well. There's rock, there's grass, and there's like, I don't know what the hell those flowers are, but they are gorgeous.
Yeah.
If I can try and get that in, I'm just hoping I can get some nice light on the mountain in the back, because otherwise I'm a bit worried about it looking quite flat. But I mean, there's not much I can do about that.
Might get some light on the actual ridge itself.
God, do not push the boat out. I'm just hoping for someone in a bright colour right now.
With the riders fast approaching, Hannah decides to join in and make use of some slightly old-school technology, the good old walkie-talkie.
You could probably hide pretty easily and be on the rocks over there and look out to the ridgeline on the right, so that would be worth checking out after. And there's a shepherd down here with his goats.
Oh, very excited about the shepherd.
Should we
go down to you then?
if you've seen what you need to up there, it'll be worth coming down here and seeing what it's like from a bit closer.
Great, yeah, we'll come down.
Roger, dodger that.
Oh yeah, I can see
right,
him.
He's
moving.
Sorry, he's moving.
Oh, here we come.
What the way?
The dog spotted him.
Has he gone past? Get what you want?
Yeah.
Nice. Oh no.
And the sun was up.
Perfect. That was worth sitting around for 2 hours for.
Yeah, definitely. So we just saw our race leader, Justina Slavica, coming over the top of that ridge. It took us a bit by surprise because just as he came into view, and we were expecting him to come tearing down the hill, he just stopped at the top to take in the view, and you definitely would because when that view opens up, it's absolutely stunning. You can see all the way down to Lake Shkoder, looks like miles down below at the bottom of the mountain, stretching off into the distance, and with the sun kind of dappling that landscape, it would have looked absolutely stunning for him. So that's typical of his approach, really, like high performance, but also not forgetting to take in the experience at the same time.
It's mid-afternoon and a few hours into the race. Justinus and Christoph Dijkman have built a bit of a gap at the front, but everyone else is fairly well bunched and making good progress through this first Albanian stretch of the race. Andrew manages to speak to Michael Niven, cap 30, while he's on the move, albeit with the aid of a bike of his own.
Nice fresh legs. Look at you speeding away. Yeah, underestimated this, but I think slow and steady. I just can't get over how beautiful it is. It's every corner, you're just reminded how fantastic this world is and the privilege that we're here. And then every uphill, I curse you guys. And then get a nice little descent. Ideally, I'd like to catch up with the hill that I took some time on. I kept looking at the forecast, the wet, and then stick the rainproof jacket on. And wrong decision. So I think I'll try and get as many K's under me and sleep where I fall.
Back in control car 1, race director Hannah describes some of the stunning scenery and setting. It's only the first day of the race, but the riders will already have enjoyed some of the most spectacular landscapes.
Yeah, so the race set off this morning and Sam and I went and just saw the first riders heading out towards Messy Bridge on the way out of Shkoder, and now we have headed straight to a place called Razem, which riders will ride to after passing through Theth, right in the Accursed Mountains. We've been taking our Dacia Duster, other cars are available, all the way up this quite rocky off-road track. I'm anticipating this is going to be some of the toughest off-road riding we do, or off-road driving that we do this week. But we're right up at the top of this mountain pass now, this off-road pass, and we're in this Katten village, which is like a very dilapidated old shepherd's village at the top of this mountain that I don't think is in use anymore. There's all of these huts with like tin roofs and wooden boards on their sides. The birds are singing, the sun's out, and there are these meadows covered in buttercups.
Back on the bike again, Andrew grabs a conversation with our pair, Hannah Vett and Annie Dunlap, caps 37A and B.
Energy is high. We just had like half a bag of Skittles, so we got some good carbonation going. about blows your cheeks up every time you open your water bottle. We're not to the point where we're putting Fanta in the Camelback yet. Trying to keep the Camelback somewhat clean, but talk to us day three.
And how are you finding the route so far?
Oh, it's beautiful.
Incredible.
I'm just looking at that view right now. It's pretty awe-inspiring. You know, it's distracting, the view almost, so yeah. It's not quite so bad. So, yeah, the route is awesome. I can't believe we're only 50 miles in.
I know.
So, I'm excited to see what's to come.
As evening falls on day one of the second edition of the Accursed, race reporter Tom provides a summary of how the race stands.
We saw all the riders set off this morning from the Travellers Hostel in Škoda. We got ourselves in position up there ahead of the race to scope out some photography spots. And at around about 5 p.m. we saw the race leader, Justinas Levica, appear at the top of the ridge line as he kind of crested the mountain pass up there. Amazing views down to Lake Škoda in changeable weather conditions with thunderstorms, hail and intermittent patches of baking sunshine as well. Justinas was then followed maybe about half an hour or 40 minutes later by Christoph Dijkmans, and then another big gap back to a little volley of riders that came through this beautiful valley peppered with like shepherd's huts and reinforced bunkers. And we saw Christian Dupraz, Andy Dodd, Daniel Perotti and Pierre Bischoff all fly through there in quick succession. At the end of today, we now have a group of about seven riders who are about 20 kilometers back from that group. And they're all in and around Podgorica, so I imagine a lot of them will be staying there and some of them might just be grabbing a bite to eat and carrying on.
Join us in the next episode where we'll speak to more riders to find out how they spent their first night in the Accursed Mountains. We'll also see whether Justinas can maintain his early lead and look out for any riders breaking away from the bunch in an attempt to challenge for those top positions. It's early days with plenty of adventure ahead. Don't forget, you can read daily race reports from the road on our website and get updates across all our social media channels. Thanks to our race partners, Albion and Ride with GPS.